The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
Amen.
Abraham was as good as dead. It had been years since God had first spoken to him and promised him all of those wonderful blessings if he would leave his father's house and travel to a faraway place that God would show him. But what had happened? Actually, not much. Oh, sure. Abraham had traveled. He'd gone to Canaan. He'd prospered. His herds had grown large. And now he was a wealthy man. But he was also an old man. About 100 years old, and his wife about 90. And the Lord's promises were all about offspring, family, a son. In thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Well, the promise had been repeated. Abraham saw dreams. He received mysterious visitors. He even agreed to the rite of circumcision as a sign of the promise. But no son. In an act of desperation, his wife Sarah and Abraham agreed upon a surrogate mother, the Egyptian slave woman Hagar. And indeed, a son had been born. But again, God had spoken. For when Abraham pleaded that Ishmael might be the one, God was clear, "Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him." Ishmael was not the promised seed. The plot had failed, and now it was too late. Abraham was old, too old to father a child, too old to have a son. Abraham was as good as dead. And yet, even then, something marvelous was happening. And not just that Abraham and Sarah would indeed conceive and have a son, as miraculous as that was, something else, in a way even more impressive, was going on here. And that was that Abraham continued to believe in God's promise. Despite the many years of disappointment, despite the deadness of his flesh and of Sarah's womb too, Abraham believed that God would do what he said, that he could bring life out of death, that he and Sarah would have a son. No wonder then that for the Apostle St. Paul, Abraham is the example of faith. For many, many years, Abraham did not see the fulfillment of that in which he hoped, but he kept on believing. For faith is confidence and trust in spite of what we see, in spite of what we experience. Now, you might object that, after all, Abraham did experience quite a lot that confirmed his faith. After all, how many of us see visions or hear voices of the Almighty? And that's true. And whatever Abraham saw and heard, it was vivid enough for him to act upon. He traveled, he settled, he circumcised in obedience to those heavenly apparitions, that's sure. But what about the promise? Did Abraham experience its fulfillment? And as the years passed, don't you think it would be natural for him to begin doubting? For example, doubting the authenticity of the original experience. Did it really happen? Did God really speak to me? Or am I just a dreamer and now an old fool? Or again, in an age in which there were many gods, don't you think it might have occurred to Abraham to wonder whether the God who had appeared to him was really the God who could make good on those promises? Maybe he was a boastful God. Maybe he was a lying and a deceiving God whose powers were strictly limited. Maybe the promise had not come to pass because this God couldn't really deliver. Or maybe, even worse, God was who he said he was and could do what he promised to do, but he wasn't going to. He changed his mind because of Abraham, his failures, his faults. For you know, Abraham wasn't perfect, far from it. The New Testament cites him as an example of faith, not sinlessness. And even his faith didn't seem all that strong when he tried to pass Sarah off as his sister, not once but twice, two different times, in order to save his own skin when powerful men wanted her. No, Abraham wasn't perfect. And after all those years of no fulfillment, it would have been entirely natural had he concluded that God had changed his mind. Abraham didn't deserve a son, and he wasn't going to get one. But in point of fact, Abraham did not draw that conclusion, nor did he think that God was too weak to keep his promise. Instead, he continued to believe in the face of whatever doubts assaulted him. Now let's remember, the apostle's point in referring to Abraham as an example of faith is not to magnify Abraham as if somehow the strength of faith is in the person believing, as if somehow that Abraham believed to such a degree that God finally rewarded him with the promise. Not so. Not at all. First of all, because the promise preceded faith. God spoke, God called, God promised. And then, but only then, did Abraham believe and obey by moving to Canaan. The word of God was what created the faith in Abraham. No word, no faith. God must speak first. But God was also the strength of Abraham's faith. Then, as now, there were all kinds of belief systems. And in each of those systems, there were undoubtedly very many devout and sincere people. People who believed, really and truly believed, that their God was true and that their service to him was right. But you know, faith that is aimed at the wrong thing is absolutely worthless. And believing a lie doesn't make it so. In fact, it makes things worse. People stop looking for the truth. People stop listening to the truth when it's spoken because they think they already have it. They don't need anything else. But unless they really believe in the true God, the one who is there, the one who speaks, the one who promises, and the one who keeps his promises, they have nothing. So Abraham received everything, not because of or in himself, but because of the one in whom he believed, the God who keeps promises. The God who did give Abraham a son, and through that son, ultimately, the promised seed who suffered, died, and rose again to redeem Abraham and all of us. So Abraham's faith is the prototype of our own faith. God's gift, created by God's word, to grasp hold of God's promises in the face of what we see, promises that God keeps because of who He is, faithful and merciful in Christ. Like Abraham, we too are as good as dead when it comes to our salvation. We need it desperately, but can never achieve it. But it is precisely that salvation that God promises. Like Abraham, we do not see it. All around us and in us are decadence and death. But God does and shall deliver this salvation to us in forgiveness, eternal life, and resurrection. That's right. To us, to you, to me. If only, as the Bible says, we believe on Him who raised up Jesus from the dead, Jesus, the promised seed, who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. Amen. And now the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.